through the last two Wednesday nights that our foundation is Jesus Christ. It is His wisdom that gives us life and light. Therefore, we must build with suitable material in order to build correctly on that foundation. Now, we understand that that foundation is Jesus, and because we are in Jesus, we have no other choice but to build upon Jesus, because we believe in eternal security within Jesus. But the material that we build needs to be of the same nature, which is spirit, that we're building with on that foundation. If we use the wrong type of material, what will happen? Well, we know that it will be burnt. It will be burned by the fire of God. We know this because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this: "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." Now we have received not this. I'm in the two, sorry. Chapter 3, verse 11. "For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12 of chapter 3. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again. We just pray that you would use your word in a powerful way in the people here at Bethel, that you would encourage them through your word, correct them, rebuke them where it is necessary through the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we looked at last week that there is some signs of the right type of material. Alright, so the foundation is Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, your hope is in your foundation, Jesus Christ. However, there is a responsibility that you as Christians have, and that is to build wisely upon that foundation. And specifically, it's talking about teaching. Okay, so what are we adding, or what are we adding to the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are we being correct in our teaching from the Word of God? Also, it talks about attitude within the church. How is our church's attitude and environment towards one another? Are we uplifting people where they should not be uplifted? Are we replacing man with God, or the opinions of ourselves above what God has directly said through His Word? Are we relying on our flesh to do the work of God, when only through His Spirit are we able to do that work? Well, there are some signs. In verse 18 through 23, we see the signs as being this: "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." And we understand that at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they were boasting in their spiritual leaders, because that was the environment that they grew up in. If they were unsaved, they were looking for sophists that they could go and they could attach themselves to for clout, or for people to see that they are wise. And what we're seeing here is that is not God's plan for the church. What we use from the unsaved world is to be a tool for the praise of God. All right, all things are available to us that are morally correct, and we need to use those tools through the wisdom of God. All right, so when we look at the sciences of this world, we must sift them And our goal is, through the sifting, that we're understanding how to apply it by God's wisdom. All right? So we're looking at what certain sciences or what certain things have in this world, and we're sifting it because we're Christians. And we're realizing that they don't have the answers, only God has the answer, and we go to God to find out what the answers are. We are not to enslave ourselves to any man or theory, but to use them as tools to be closer to God. Now, this week I would like to look at the responsibility of Christians towards Christ. Christ being our foundation. First, we are to look at the description of our responsibilities found in verse 1 through 2. Second, we'll be talking about the dependence on the discernment of Christ, verses 3 and 4 and 5. Third, the example, verse 6 through 14. And finally, we see Paul's person and his ministry in verses 15 through 21. So let's look at the responsibility of Christians towards Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So what is a Christian's value? That's what let a man account of us. What do we want other people to view us as? What do we want people that specifically are Christians, that God has called us to work for, or even in the workplace that God has called us to work to, what do we want them to see, value, what do we want them to realize is valuable to us? When a person looks at you, you as a Christian should desire, if you're building on the correct foundation with the correct material in your work, as you're at the places that God has called you to work with and work for and at, there is a value that people, you want people to think of you as, right? You know, all the sports people that are great in their sports fields are working towards their legacy. All the people that are in the workplace or in the field that they're called to, that are longing to excel in that field and be the best of that field, what is their desire? They want a legacy that they can leave behind as this person being a great person or a great worker. What is our value as a Christian? What is our self-worth as a Christian? Well, it's explained to us in our work. And our work is found in this phrase in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ. So what is our value? Our value as a Christian is that we're servants of Christ. Your value as a Christian, your desire as a Christian, your legacy that you want to leave behind for others to think when they look at you is that person was a servant of Christ. If that is your desire, if that is your goal, if that is what you're reaching for, you are building with the right material on that foundation. If you're not, if that's not the goal, then you're not building correctly with correct material on your foundation, Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? Well, our value is that we show people that we are ministers of Christ. The idea has already been expressed in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians verses 6 through 10. If you just gaze at chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, you read this. I have planted, 1 Corinthians, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. And according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, what was the foundation? Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says it's Jesus Christ. Paul laid the foundation in Corinth. That foundation was Jesus Christ and him crucified. People that are Christians now are laying extra layers upon that foundation. They're building the structure, if you will, of the Christian family there in Corinth. And what are they to remember? They are to remember that everything that they build upon is laid correctly because Jesus Christ is our foundation. It's all about Jesus. It's all about our service to Jesus is what is being trying to be put across here in this passage. So, what else do we add to this desire to be ministers of Christ? Well, in the phrase in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 1, it says, and stewards of the mysteries of God. So, stewards means, metaphorically, of an apostle and other teachers as stewards or ministries of a gospel. What are they stewarding? What are they in charge of? Well, they're in charge of this mystery. Well, what's the mystery? Well, mystery is some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is naturally unknown to man's reason and is only known by the revelation of God. So they have been called to be servants of God in this specific area of, through the Holy Spirit's power, preaching what can only be revealed by God to individuals. That's their legacy. That's their value. Christian, your value is expressing your faith in your words, in your works. That's your value as a Christian. Your value in your works as a Christian. We're not talking about your position in Christ. We're talking about your actions, your purification process here on this earth. What is your value? Well, that you are servants of Christ in the ministry of teaching others the hidden things, the natural hidden things of men, by preaching what has been revealed to you by God. And what has been revealed to us by God? It's all found where? In the scriptures. And who? What leads you in those scriptures? The Holy Spirit leads you in those scriptures. And the Holy Spirit tells you what you are to do. So we see our value. Our value and what we want others to account us as. Our legacy, if you will. And our legacy is found in our work. That we are ministers of Jesus Christ and we are stewards of the mysteries of God. All right? Now, not in the same way that the apostles are, obviously. We're not writing inspired words, but we are preaching inspired words. All right? So probably, to be fair to the text, it is speaking directly to Paul's ministry of apostleship, where he is actually, by the Holy Spirit, writing the very words of God down that we're looking at. But how do we apply that to us today? Obviously, we have the full word of God, so we as Christians can't do revelation. We can't write down the words of God in the same way the apostles do. But we read those words that they have written down, and thus we are given the mysteries of God through his word. How important is that to you? How much do we fight the flesh in trying to find status in things that are passing away? Man, we live in a culture. I was having a discussion with Pastor Unger, and he was talking about a very popular conservative radio host who is talking about suicide within the state rose like 33% last year. And it is coming back to this selfie. Does everybody in the auditorium understand what a selfie is? That's when you take pictures of yourself. I don't do that a lot because I don't want to break my phone. But people take a whole bunch of selfies. And they are so, the value that they have has been determined by what our society has spoken, specifically through social media, all right? Specifically through Instagram and those type of social media platforms that are very focus driven, all right? I'm not saying Instagram's a sin, but I am saying you better use it wisely as a Christian, because you don't want to get involved in this selfie, all about self society. Listen, Christian, we are not allowed to let what runs the world run us. We're to be of a different source than what the world is. And I am very concerned that if we don't protect ourselves from what the world says is okay, we become more and more like the world. And what are we building? Well, we're building wood, hand, stubble on that precious foundation that we're all connected to, Jesus Christ. Don't hear me that I'm saying it's always wrong to take a picture of yourself. Obviously, it's not always wrong to take a picture of yourself. Obviously, I'm not saying that you should never get on Instagram. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, are you finding your value or determining your value on what other people are posting on that social media site? Be very careful of that. What am I saying? Christian, our value is in our work, that we are ministers of Jesus Christ, specifically stewards of the mystery of God. So what's our responsibility in our value, which is found in our work? Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2, not 3, 2. Moreover, is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So requires means to demand. This is the demand of us as stewards of the mysteries of God. This is the expectation because of our value found in our work. The expectation is to be faithful in our work, to be faithful in our calling, faithful in duty to oneself and to others, especially as servants, ministers who are faithful in the performance of their duties. So what are you doing, Christian? What are you doing, young Christian? What are you doing, older Christian? What are you doing, middle-aged Christian? Are you faithful? So what is our whole goal as Christians today? To be faithful in our calling. And our calling is our value. Our work is where we find value, spiritual value. Christian, young person, middle-aged, older person, you will never be satisfied as a Christian in finding value in things that are passing away. We know that God's a spirit, so we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the spiritual things are our values as Christians. Are you faithful to that? So, we've looked at the responsibility of Christians towards Christ. Now let's look at our dependence on the discernment of Christ in our faithfulness. First, negatively, we cannot depend on others to judge appropriately. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. So, there are two We see two different Greek words that are translated similar, the same. Okay, the first Greek word is anakornor. It's translated judgment. It means to discern. It means to judge, to examine or question, to pass a judicial sentence, to examine accurately or carefully, to inquire, ask questions in general. So this world is passing judgment on us, on what we're supposed to be like. Other Christians sometimes pass judgment on what we're supposed to do in our life. We cannot pass judgment when the only source is ourself. I do not have the power to pass judgment on you how you are to live your life. I don't have the right as a pastor to say, well, I think that you should live your life this way, unless I am taking specifically from Scripture a command of God. And then it's not my judgment, it's not my discernment, it's my preaching of what God has already declared through His Word. The second similar English translation that is taken from a different Greek word is man's judgment. And this is speaking directly of a day of judgment. This is actually talking about man setting up rules and then you being afraid to break those rules and having to go to court because you have broken those rules. That's what it literally means. So what is Paul saying? Well, when I'm preparing to do my work of ministry, in my ministry of Jesus Christ, my responsibility, one way I show myself to be faithful is I worry about what God says, not what man says. I don't take my time thinking as I'm preparing this sermon or preaching the revelation of God through His Word that has been revealed to us, hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't spend my time wasting my time, or I spend very little time thinking about what man's opinions are about it. Even at the cost of putting me in a peculiar situation of being judged in this world. Paul was beaten. Paul was scourged. Paul was hated for his message. But what did he do? He faithfully did his ministry. He faithfully preached what God had spoken to him to preach. He did not compromise. In fact, he tells Timothy, when you preach, be instant in season and out of season. Let me just say, the Bible is out of season in our society today. If you're going to do your ministry correctly, of being a steward of the mysteries of God, you're going to have some persecution. You're going to have some people say bad things about you and misunderstand you. Now, again, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. We understand we don't have this spirit of hatred or this spirit of vengefulness or this spirit of pride. We do this in love and humility. But let us not use love and humility as an excuse not to do what God has called us to do and be faithful in that calling. Are you being faithful to what God has called you to do? Are you compromising? When you're around and on the clock and people are making fun of your God and making fun of your religion and using God's name in vain and downplaying God and asking your opinion. I'm not saying you have to be a preacher on the job site. That's wrong. You work on the job site. There's a time for everything. But if a person comes to you and asks you for your opinion and you have a relationship with that person and they're not just trying to bait you into something, are you speaking what God says without fear of what they think? Man, do we fear what people think of us? That's dangerous. That's a sign that you're building on that foundation with wrong material. You're building with flesh instead of faith. Be very careful of that. Secondly, we cannot depend on our conscience outside the direction of the Spirit of God through the doctrines revealed by God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the last phrase of verse number 3 says, "Yea, I judge not my own self." Verse 4, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord." So what Paul is saying is, I don't even judge myself based on my own thought processes. By my own thought processes, I don't think I have anything between me and God. That's what he's saying in verse number 4. If I use my heart and my desires and my thinking, I think I am clear before God. Now, we know that that's a dangerous situation to be trusting in self, because we understand, according to Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitfully wicked and desperately wicked, and it's deceitful, and we can't know our own hearts. Now, I do understand, according to Romans chapter 2, and 10 through 15, that God does give us the conscience, because we're made in the image of God, to protect us from those desires of the heart. All right? So if man just lived by the unsaved man just lived by his own desires and he had no control of those desires, we would destroy ourselves very soon. We would totally kill one another, is what would happen. What has God done? Well, because we're made in his image, he's given us a conscience. What Paul is saying is, I don't allow my conscience always to be my guide. My conscience is not always my guide. My conscience is only my guide when it is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1 puts it this way. Romans 9 and verse 1. Here's what Paul says. "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience always also bearing witness." And what is his conscience in? The last phrase. In the what? In the Holy Ghost. So a Christian can have a conscience that's bearing witness to him that is being controlled by the Holy Ghost. And is speaking that they're doing the right thing. That is outside of man. In and of himself. It's a superior nature that is given to him at salvation. The Holy Spirit communicating with his conscience as dictated by his new spirit, and that he's doing the right thing. We can do works, but they are dead works without the conscience being made alive by the power of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9 shows us an activated righteous conscience in verse 14. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. It says, when speaking about, well, he's comparing the blood of goats covering sin. Blood of calves and goats not covering sin, but giving atonement for sin for a season, as picturing the final covering of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is what he says when comparing the effects of the blood of Christ applied to us. In verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 9, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now, Christian, this is important. We want to build with the right type of material, right? How many of you have ever tried to put up something that with a material that had been infested by some bug where it was rotting it out and you didn't know. And then a few years down the road, you see, why is everything rotting? Well, because the material was wrong. It had a defect. How do we know in what we are valued in our being ministers of Jesus Christ, in our stewardship of the mystery of God, how do we know that we're building with the right material? How do we know that our material will stand in our works, that we're building on our foundation in the judgment day? How do we know? Because the Holy Spirit has purged our conscience from dead works. Our conscience is being activated by the Holy Spirit on what we're to do. Just because you feel like it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. Just because you say, well, that person has the right heart, or I have the right heart in this, doesn't mean that's what God wants you to do. You search the scriptures. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in what you should do. And He guides through His Word. Our feelings sometimes trick us, and they make us feel like it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. A young person sees somebody and their heart starts to go pitter-patter or jump a beat and stomach gets all excited. Man, that person's so beautiful. And then you start talking to that person and you realize, this person is not very spiritual, but they're so beautiful. Let me give you a hint really quick. Whoever you marry, if it's in God's will, you'll think is beautiful. It's fact. You'll think if you marry the right person, and well, whoever you marry is the right person. But before you get married, if you marry the right person, the longer you live with them, the more beautiful they become. It's just a fact. All right? And if you don't believe that, man, be quiet. No. No. It's true. You love them for who they are. My dad always used to say, beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes pure to the bone. All right? So what he's saying is, ugly is on the inside. Don't be tricked by the beauty of the outside. If they're not a spiritual person, they're not God's will for your life if you're not married to them. If you're married to them, that's God's will for your life. If you're not married to them, it's not God's will for your life. It's a silly example. But just because you feel like something is right doesn't mean it's right. Your flesh is so deceitful, it's so wicked. The desires of your flesh want to enslave you to those desires. Be very careful and filled with the Spirit when making those type of decisions. So, we see we can't depend on others. We can't depend on ourselves and what we feel. The only person that we can depend on is God. God is the only one that can genuinely discern our faithfulness. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 4 and 5. Let's look at the second phrase of verse number 4. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse number 5. So, the person that is truly able to discern you, the person that is truly able to make a proclamation about your faithfulness and your stewardship is the Lord. So, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. So since God is the only one that can judge, let's not spend our time worrying about what other people think about us and what we're doing. Let's spend our time thinking about what God thinks about what we're doing and if we're being faithful stewards to His calling in our life. It is God that judges us. So God can correctly discern our works because He will both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. My mind went to Psalms 139 when it talks about who can hide from the Spirit of God. He's everywhere. I can't go to heaven. I can't make my place in the deep. I can't go to hell without God and the consciousness of God being in my mind. He sees everything and He knows everything. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Some of us are so afraid of what other people would think if they saw what we did in darkness. Well, guess who sees what you do in darkness? God. And He'll bring it to light. And will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Now, counsel of the heart means the purpose of the heart, the seats of the desire, the feelings, affections, passions, impulses, the heart or minds. We want to make sure in our stewardships that we are of a pure heart. We want to make sure that the center of our life has been made pure by Jesus Christ. Is your desire being allowed to be purified by the Spirit who teaches you Jesus Christ? Are you a faithful steward? Then one of those signs that you're building with the right material on your foundation, which is Jesus Christ, is you allow the Holy Spirit to test your spirits. To test and purify the desires of your heart. Is my inner man being led by my flesh or led by my new nature as directed by the Holy Spirit? That's what it's saying here. How much do we think about having a pure heart? How much do we confess what's done in darkness, understanding that one day it will be made and brought to light? So let's now move to the example given in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 14. Here we'll read these verses. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. If you detected sarcasm in some of my quotations while reading this, it's because it was meant to be sarcastic. Many of these quotations that Paul is saying about himself, comparing himself to the Corinthians, is used in a style that is sarcastic, according to the Greek scholars. All right, I'm not getting into that because we don't have time, but they say when he, we'll get into it. So first, the reason for the pattern in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure. So verse 6 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So Paul has used himself and Apollos' position in chapter 3 through 4 to teach them not to put men on a pedestal. Why? Because placing a man on a pedestal causes prideful contention within the body of Christ. Well, you know, I really appreciate when Pastor James preaches, but when Pastor Unger preaches, I don't know. Or Pastor Unger, I really like it when he preaches, but Pastor James, no, that's not how we work here. We enjoy all Bible preaching. Not to say there aren't some preachers that speak our language. We all get that. There's certain preachers that we love to listen to that we really get that other people, when they listen to us, like, what's so special about this guy? Well, amen for God's grace and people being able to explain the Bible to you. But we're not in competition. We're not in competition. We're here to be servants of Christ, to be stewards of the mystery of God. Second, a reminder of the giver of the privilege. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory or boast as if thou hast not received it? You give somebody something. Who does this remind you of? This reminds me of Isaiah chapter 14. Do you know what we find in Isaiah chapter 14? We find a certain spiritual being that was made above all the other spiritual beings, but under God. And he started to look at himself. And he started to take pride in what was given to him. Remember that, Lucifer? Did he create himself? Did he have any right to use what was given to him to attack his master and his creator? Then we have no right as Christians to trust in our talents and gifts. God is the one that gave it to us, not ourselves. We're faithful in working and bettering ourselves in those gifts, but we understand that God is the one that gave it, and he is the one that receives glory, not us. The pattern of Paul's position of lowliness juxtaposed with the position of prestige of the Corinthians. So first, in position. Now are ye full, now are ye rich. Ye have reigned as king without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. So they're saying, look at how much we're succeeding. Man, ever since I got saved, I just got more money, more money. I'm just raising so high in what God has called in my career. Everything is going good. I'm reigning like I'm a king. No, no, no. This is testing time right now. It's preparing us for reigning time later. He's saying, I'm an apostle called by God. And God is putting me as an apostle called by him in this position to show you what it means to be a Christian. I'm being persecuted. It's like I'm being appointed. When God called me to apostleship, it's like he appointed me to death. It's like We are being so persecuted that man sees our persecution. The angels in heaven and on earth and in hell see our persecution. Everybody sees our persecution. Now, I wish you were truly reigning, because if you were truly reigning, that would mean it's reigning time with me. Because one day we will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever as his saints. And we're looking forward to that day. But today is not that day. At least for us as pre-trib premillennialist. I guess the postmillennialist thinks that they'll reign today, but we don't think that. In perception. So not only is there a contrast in position, Paul's lowly and they're lifted up high. But also in perception, in verse 10, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. The phrase ye are wise in Christ is explained by Spiros Zodiades in this way. It is in an evil sense, thinking oneself to be prudent or wise because of self-complacency, used ironically in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. Hey, we're all good. We're so wise, we're so right with Christ in God. How many have ever met a Christian? They're in deep sin, and then they tell you, I've never been more right with God than I am right now. Yeah, but you just left your wife and are committing adultery with this other one. No, I'm so right with God right now. In persecution. Look at Paul and what he suffered. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling places, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. So people are saying negative, hurtful, evil things about them, and what do they do in response? They pray that they will turn to God so God may bless them. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We bear it. Being defamed, our name being dragged through the mud, we entreat. We come and we try to speak to you. We are made filth of this world and offscouring of all things unto this day. They are made the scum of this world because of their service to Christ. Are you a guy at the job site that everybody looks to and says, wow, what a great guy. Oh, we like him so much. He's just so easygoing. Now, I'm not saying be a jerk on the job site. But I'm saying there should be something about your life that causes conviction to other people. That's a good thing. Don't be discouraged when people look at you and say, I want you to change because I don't feel comfortable how you're living. This isn't prideful. This is stating something. We want to make sure we're building with the right material, right? That's why we rejoice when people say all manner of evil against us for God's sake. We know we're building with the right material. Not for your sake, but for God's sake. Now, if you're just going to work and you're pouting and you're drudgery and nobody can get around you because you snap at them, you're never nice to anybody, you're like Grouchy Grouch, Oscar the Grouch, that's not what God is talking about here. God is talking about you having peace and meekness in the time of trial and standing up for what you believe when you have to in order to glorify God and people being mad at you for that. Misery loves company. So when you're not miserable, those that are in misery because they don't know Christ won't like you. Are you good? Are people, I didn't say, are you mean? I say, when people of this world get around you, they say, man, you're just like us. We love being around you. You make us feel good about ourselves. Test the material you're working with there. So Paul's purpose is found in this. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I'm not saying this to make you ashamed about what I'm doing. Verse 14 is where that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not saying this to make myself look bad so that you can be ashamed. I'm saying this to warn you because I want you to build with the right material on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Finally, Paul's person explained in a fivefold way. First, Paul's position to the Corinthians. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul's saying is, I came to you, I proclaimed Jesus Christ to you. I was the tool that Jesus used and the Holy Spirit used to draw you to himself. We have a special connection because I led you to the Lord. Secondly, Paul's worthy pattern. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Third, Paul's pattern, partner sent. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son. So he won Timothy to the Lord. And faithful in the Lord. So he was trustworthy in the responsibilities given to him by the Lord. What will he do? Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. True doctrine. He's coming there to remind them of the true doctrine that was the foundation that Paul planted that church on. Paul will deal with pride. Verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Oh, Paul's afraid to come because we're so smart. We'll rip him apart with our speech. Verse 19. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. The power of what? Well, that's Paul's provision. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So let me close with this. Are you doing what God has called you to do in his power? If you are, you're using the right material. If you're doing it in your wisdom and in your talents, you're using the wrong material. What are you using to build on your foundation, Jesus Christ? I hope it's precious things like gold, silver, and precious stones. I pray it's not wood, hay, or stubble. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. The call for us to be faithful in our work that you've called us to do. Oh God, please give us strength through your Spirit to be faithful in that. In Jesus' name, amen.